two things that, two reasons why this parable is of great importance. Number one, of course, is that our Master, our Lord, taught it. He chose to bring this parable to a large group of people that were listening to him. Pushed the little boat out in the sea and sat on it or stood on it and talked to this multitude. This is what he taught them. So I'm on good ground this morning teaching this parable because he taught it. He selected this parable to teach. And then the second reason why it's of great importance is found in verse 13, Mark 4, verse 13. Did you ever notice this before? When he gave the parable and the disciples asked him to explain it, they asked him about the parable, and he said in verse 13, he said to them, to his disciples, "Know ye not this parable? Don't you understand this parable? This parable is so easy to understand. Don't you understand it? It's taken from things so common, everyday experiences." And then he said, "How then will you know all parables? If one does not understand this parable, which is so simple, so plain, so easy to understand," he says, "how would you be able to understand other parables, which are more difficult?" This is the simple parable. This is where we began. This is kindergarten. But who was the man wrote the book All I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten? So let's look at it. Let's see what this simple parable, of which our Lord said, if you don't understand this one, you needn't go any further. When I read it, you remember, a certain farmer in an eastern country arose one morning, and he filled a sack with seed. Corn, barley, rye, whatever, wheat, filled his sack with seed. And he went out into the field. He plowed and prepared the field. He went out to sow the seed. And he scattered the seed. That's the way he was sowing it, not in rows, but he was scattering the seed. And there was a path along the edge of the field where the ground was hard and packed, and people walked often upon this path. All around the field was a path. And as the farmer scattered the seed, threw it out, some of it fell on this fallow ground, this hard, unplowed ground. And he moved on, sowing his seed, and the birds sitting up in the trees watching him throw the seed. They saw that seed fall on that hard ground, and as he moved on, they swooped down and picked it up and devoured the precious seed. And then there was another part, our Lord said, of the field where the man was sowing the seed, another part rocky, and it had very little topsoil, just rocky ground. And just a layer of dirt over the rocks. And some of the seed fell there on this stony ground, and it did have a little earth, a little soil, and so in time it sprang up. Got a little moisture and sprang up, and it grew quickly. But it had no root, had no depth. The roots didn't reach down into the soil and draw the water from beneath. Had no source of water. So the sun came out with burning heat, and these little plants, after a while, withered and fell over. They sprang up, and then they withered. And then there was another part of the field. Probably the plow had touched there, but it had a lot of old roots and briars and thorns, which grew in that part of the field that the plow didn't tear away, didn't completely destroy. And some of the seed fell among the thorns and the briars and these old roots. And it grew. It grew for a time, but the thorns and briars grew too. And after a while, the seed had the plant, and the thorns and briars grew around it, just choked it. And it bore no fruit. It didn't amount to anything. But much of the seed, our Lord said, fell on good ground. Good ground meaning that it was broken up. It was plowed. It was prepared by the farmer. It was ready to receive the seed. And when the seed fell on this prepared ground, it took root, and it grew, and it produced fruit. He said some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Several bushels to the acre, but different amounts. All didn't bear the same. So when he was alone with his disciples here in verse 11, he said to them, God's blessed you with understanding, the gospel of Christ. The Son of God hath come and given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. We have nothing to brag about, to boast of, except the cross. What we have, God gave us. What we know, God taught us. And that's what he's saying here. Unto you, it's given by God's grace to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to these who are outside the kingdom, these who are without, who do not understand, to whom God hath not given light and knowledge and understanding, I preach to them in stories, in parables like this. I teach them in parables and stories. He said in verse 12, you see, that seeing they may see. They saw Christ with the bodily eyes, but not with eyes of faith. He said, whom do they say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're a great prophet. They saw him, see. They saw him with bodily eyes, and they saw a human figure. They saw the miracles, but they didn't discern who he is. They didn't discern the spiritual truth of these miracles. They heard his words. He said, they see, but they do not perceive. He said, they hear, but they do not understand. They heard his words. They saw the miracles, but they didn't understand. They read the scriptures. The scriptures were read every Sabbath day in these synagogues. The scripture was read just exactly as we read it this morning. That's Psalm 84, which I read about worship, the house of God, and the ways of Zion, and the mercies of God. Those old Jews read that 1,000 times. That was read, think how many times. Isaiah 53, that you and I love so much, that was read over and over again. Isaiah 42, mine elect, my servant. Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. They read those things. He said, but they're seeing, they see, but they don't perceive. And hearing, they hear, but they don't understand. Lest at any time they should be converted. They willfully rejected the Savior. They willfully reject him. Christ came and to his own, and they didn't receive him. He was in the world didn't know him. And then he said in verse 13, he said to these disciples, don't you know this parable? Can't you get up here and preach on this parable? Can't you explain this? If someone would ask you, can't you explain this? Then how would you understand other parables? that are so much more difficult. Well, let's see what it, and then he, but oh, our wonderful Lord, he didn't walk off. You don't understand this? Well, how are you going to understand anything else? Well, no, he's going to explain it to them. He's going to tell them again. Tell me again. Tell me again. I forget so soon. What's that song? Tell me the story of Jesus. I forget so soon. The early dew of morning is gone by noon. I need to hear it again. And if you'll tell me again, it'll refresh my mind. And I can rejoice. All right, I'll do it again. Verse 14. The sower soweth the word. Now listen. The sower soweth. Who is the sower? He's the preacher of the gospel. He's who I am. What I am. He's doing what I'm doing this morning. The word. Sowing the word. If you're going out in the field to sow, you better take some seed. I don't understand these preachers that don't take the seed. This is the seed. The seed is the word. The seed is the word. The sower sows the word. Seed's the word of God. I don't understand. I've watched the television and the preachers and these girls and women and all, and they don't have a Bible. They don't even have one with them. They're just running them down, talking about all kind of things that they suppose to be true. But you see, the sower has the seed, the word. The preacher has the word. And listen, the sower didn't make the seed. God made the seed. That sower that has that seed in his bag, or bucket, whatever he's using, he didn't make that seed. God made that seed. He didn't have anything to do with it. It's given to him. I didn't have anything to do. That's your doctrine. No, it's not. No. No, I reject that. It's not my, it's his doctrine. The doctrine I preach, the word I preach, is not my word, it's not my doctrine. It's his word, his doctrine. I can say with my Lord, I can say this with my Lord. He said, the words that I speak are not my words, they're the words of him that sent me. And let me tell you this, this word, the sower soweth the word. A sower soweth the seed. You know something about seed. It's fascinating to me. That's one reason I garden, not only to eat, but because it's fascinating to me to watch putting that seed in the ground. And it grows. Let me tell you something. That seed in that sack has life in it. It has life in it. Now listen to me. God made that seed that sower has in his hand and sows, and that seed has life in it. Turn to Genesis. Please turn to Genesis 1 and listen to this. Genesis 1. Verse 11 and 12. Now listen carefully. And God said, Genesis 1:11. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. God saw that it was good. The corn grows, and the seed's in itself. And you take the kernel, and there's life in that seed. And you plant it, and God makes it yield increase. God does what he does with it. You just plant it and back off. And God, if the life is in that seed, with his power, he makes it grow. Even so, there's life in this word, what I'm telling you. There's life in this seed. Now let me make good on this. You turn to John 6, verse 63. This is the word of life. The word of life. The sower is sowing the word, and the life is in the seed. That's right. Now listen to me. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. John 6, 63. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Life in this word. Spiritual life, John, in this word. Now, that's right. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1 verse 23. Now listen to it. Being born again. That's us. We're born again. We're born the first time of corruptible seed. Semen. Seed. But second time, we're born of seed. But not corruptible seed. Listen. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is a flower of grass. In other words, the grass in Genesis 1, it has seed in itself, but it's temporary, natural. And you have seed in yourself, you men. That seed can make another man, but he'll be like you. He'll die like the grass. Grass withereth, flower fadeth. I cannot produce a living child of God. I can produce a dying son of man, just like the grass. Now look at it. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. Life in this seed. If he's pleased to make it live, it's according to where it falls. That seed's got life in it, but on that rough ground, won't blow up. Gotta be, that seed's got to come in a heart prepared by God. Prepared by God, makes it live. But this life is in the seed, it's in the word. Try it. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. So back to my text, the seed, the sower soweth the word. The farmer sows the seed faithfully, that's all he can do. Sow it faithfully. He don't amount to nothing. That's bad English, but you get the message, don't you? Apollos plowed, Cephas watered, I planted, but God gives the increase. He that planteth is nothing. He that watereth is nothing. God's everything. And you know the thing about this seed business, out there in my yard, some beautiful sunflowers came up last year. Sunflowers. Beautiful. Bunch of them. My birds loved them. The little finches loved them. Those squirrels loved them too, and they broke them down, you know. Dar said, you plant those? I said, no. She said, who planted them? I said, the birds. Ain't nothing to planting seeds. A bird, a dirty bird can do it. That's right. I have sunflowers out there in that bird feeder that Ed Ballard made me. And the birds get the sunflower seeds and fly and they drop them. That's right, this little bird picked up a seed, flew over and dropped it, and God made it live, made a beautiful flower. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're just birds. We sow the seed. So what I'm saying, he's the Lord of the harvest. He gives the increase. If there's an increase, it's by his will and not mine. It's by his work and not mine. Isn't that right? But the seed is the word. And in that word is life. If God, all right, now here our Lord goes on. He says, now, but the seed, some of it fell by the wayside. Verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they've heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. The seed falls on unprepared, uninterested ground. It's there only a brief time. The ground is totally unprepared. There's too much traffic. There's too much other interest. There's too much going on. There's too many people walking on it. Who are these people? Well, these are people who sort of get in the way of the gospel. They happen to be where the gospel's preached. I can give you several illustrations. A man attends a funeral. Gospel's preached. Faithful preacher has the seed, the life-giving seed of God's word, and preaches it. And that man sits there and listens to it. And then he goes out, and the seed just disappears. He doesn't think on it anymore. No more. It's gone. Or a fella dates a girl. She goes to church where the gospel's preached. She's faithful. A tender in a place where the gospel, she brings him along. Or a girl dates a boy, and he brings her along, and they sit and they listen, and they hear the same thing you're hearing. Hear the word. But they're not interested. They just get in the way of the gospel. They're passing by, and the gospel hits them, and they pass on by, you know. Or they turn on the radio and TV, and they hear a preacher preach the gospel. Think of all the people who have read this book. There's a copy of this book in every motel, in every jail cell, in every place. People have read this book. That's the gospel. That's the word. Think of the people who have heard beautiful singing. Think of the people that have celebrated Christmas, where we talk about the birth of Christ. And they just go through it. January, December the 26th, they've forgotten about it. Satan comes and takes it away. Well, that's the people the Lord's talking about. They hear it briefly. It's gone. Now then he says, watch this. Verse 16, and these are they likewise that are sown on stony ground. Some of the seed fell on stony ground. Who, when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. That sounds good. That sounds good. They heard the word. They heard the gospel. And it sounded good. And immediately they received it. Immediately. But they have no root in themselves. They have no root in themselves. It's all a mental thing. It's all a spur of the moment thing. There's no conflict. There's no wrestling. There's no conviction. There's no counting the cost. There's no study of the person and work of Christ. There's no digging deep and laying a foundation. You see what I'm saying? They just hear about heaven and forgiveness of sins and missing hell and going to the sweet by and by. And it sounds good. And the preacher gives the invitation and multitudes come down the aisle and all stand around the front, raise their hand, or just immediately. Now let me turn to Luke chapter 6 a moment. Luke chapter 6. Our Lord talks about that over here in Luke chapter 6. He says in verse 47, Luke 6:47, I'm talking about digging deep, They have no root in themselves. In Luke 6:47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. This man, it took a while to lay that foundation. It took some digging. It took some searching to find a solid footer, a rock, a foundation, a cornerstone on which to place his building. And then trials came. The flood arose. That's trials from the earth. The rain beat upon the house. That's trials from heaven. And could not shake it because it was on a rock. Had foundation. Had root like a tree with deep roots. But he that heareth my words and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. That's clear, isn't it? Back here in our text in Mark 4, the seed, it fell on ground, that stony ground. And verse 16 says, who, when they have heard the word, quickly, immediately, without much thought, without any searching or digging or inquiring or meditating or conflict or counting the cost, they sprang up, received it with gladness. Verse 17, but they have no root in themselves, and so they endure but for a little while. And afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately, just as quickly, it goes away. What is above ground is not where the strength is. The strength is what's below. You see, this is the thing that what impresses a lot of people is in religion is the doing and the talking and what men see. But what's important in a relationship with God is what God sees underground in the heart. Laying a foundation, good foundation. And the winds and the rains and the floods are going to beat on this house. And the house that has the root, the plant that has the root, when the sun came out, it just wilted. These little old, they didn't have any roots. They weren't down where the water flows, where the water of life flows, and in Christ. And when the trial comes, especially over the word, it just shakes this house and it falls. It falls. And then here's another group. He said in verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns. They are people who hear the word. All these people hear. The sower is the sowing the word. Everybody hears it. Everybody hears it. And this is the among the thorns. What are they? And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word. It becomes unfruitful. Now, this just may apply to our day more than any other time in history. To you and me. This right here. All the other does too, but this especially. I believe today that we're more exposed to these cares of the world. Activities. We're the busiest people who ever lived. The deceitfulness of riches, luxuries, riches. the lust of other things. I believe we have more problem with this than our fathers or our fathers' fathers. I go back many decades. I go back to the life when it was slower and simpler. Some of you do. Some of you don't, but some of you do. When life was slower and simpler and less involved with the world. The world's brought into our homes. We used to be, didn't have any, we didn't take a newspaper, we didn't have radio, we didn't have a TV, we didn't have any movie houses, didn't have any bowling, didn't have any anything. We played a little ball in the yard and things like that, but our lives were uncomplicated. We went to school and came home, that's it, you know. But we're so involved, and there's so much danger right here. There's so much danger right here. The word is faithfully sown, and the word is heard. But the cares of this world, the affiliations and connections and organizations and duties and responsibilities, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. There's a young man who lives up north, gets these tapes. Well, there's several of these I could tell you about. I'm just thinking of one in particular. And he manifests a love for what he hears on these tapes. And a delight in this gospel of grace. But he struggles. He and several others just like him all over the country just have so many conflicts and battles and fights and can't get any assurance and confidence and can't get any strong hope and just always shuffling here and there. And I told him one time, tell your problem. I said, here in this congregation, the people have a pastor. And they meet on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And we read the word and we worship and we help one another. We encourage one another. We exhort one another. We praise the Lord together. We feed on spiritual things. We feed on the word. We feed on the water of life. We rejoice in Christ. And we just that's what I read in Psalm 84. Their feet are walking in the ways of Zion. I said, you don't have any of that. 7 days a week you're in the world. 7 days a week you're working, making money, business, arguing. You don't have any of this fellowship, food, meeting with the people of God, worshiping God. Leave where you are and come down here and worship God, and your life will change. Can't do that. Why can't you do that? I got a good job. I got a nice home. My children in school. My wife's got a job. We have 3 automobiles. We got television in every room. And an empty heart. And perishing children. The cares of this world. And the deceitfulness of riches. And the lust of other things. And one day, he won't have any interest. I guarantee you. You wait and see. And that's what I'm talking about. 1996, 1990s, 80s. Who knows what it's going to be like in the year 2000. No time for God. I'm too busy. And these thorns are permitted to spring up and choke the word. It becomes, don't let that happen. I tell you, you have to hoe your garden about every day, don't you? You better keep, and you better file that hoe too and keep it handy. Because you go several weeks and you turn around and look, and it's too late. It's grown up. It's grown up. Weed your garden of the thorns and briars. They grow by nature. You don't have to plant those. The seed has to be planted and cared for and nourished. The weeds grow by nature. I got a lot of those in my life, haven't you? I got it constantly. And let me say this. You say, well, my grandpa, he had plenty of time and he wasn't spiritual. Well, you know, I'm not saying the less involved we are, the more spiritual we're going to be, because if that's true, everybody in jail's got plenty of time to read the Bible and pray, but they don't. I'm saying this. The busiest man here can still walk with God if he remembers what's first. The busiest woman here. And you women are busy. Somebody said man works from sun to sun, a woman's work's never done. And I know about that because our wives. But the busiest woman here can keep one thing in mind. What's important? What's first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And you can just work all you want to. That's right. You can build all you want to. I stay busy. I love to be. I can't stand just to sit. I'd be busy. But you can walk with God. Old Noah built an ark, but he walked with God while he's building it. Amos took care of sheep, didn't he? But he walked with God when he took care of them. That's so. So it's not inactivity. That won't help us. It's just get rid of some of this garbage and baggage. And remember where your heart is. That's so, isn't it? Don't let it. Don't lose this precious word. Too precious. Well, verse 20. There's some that fell on good ground. I want you to turn to Matthew 13. This parable is given in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 23 kind of helps us a little more about this good ground. Matthew 13, 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it. Now let me make a couple of comments before. Give me time to give you this. It fell on good ground. There's no ground good by nature. I guarantee you every garden is plowed by somebody. Prepared. And this good ground is the heart that God has plowed. It's the heart where God, by his grace and by his spirit, has given what Luke 8:15 says is an honest heart, a willing heart, an interested heart, an open heart. See, God plowed the ground. It was dead, but he quickened it. And that's God brings people here to hear the gospel that's all ready for the gospel. They're all ready. He plowed it. And I preach his gospel, and that seed comes into that heart. And they understand. They hear, and they understand. What do they understand? What the word says about them. I'm a sinner. What the word says about God's holiness. He's holy. He demands righteousness. What the word says about Christ, who is our righteousness, whose blood cleanseth us from all sin. He understands why Christ died, that God may be just and justified. He understands. He hears and understands. That's life. And he brings forth fruit. And all of that fruit, you see, some, he says here in verse 23, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. God's people aren't all alike, like corn stalks or bean stalks. You get more beans from some you do others. But they all bear fruit. Fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness. They all bear fruit. Some, to whatever degree, he's pleased to give. It's not the fruit of the branch, it's the fruit of the vine. That's a simple parable, isn't it? That's a simple parable. It's true. I know it's true. And I would caution every one of us, especially on that third point. That's where I think that one of the greatest problems that we face in this day is getting things into proper order. But we've got as much access to God as Abraham did, or Charles Spurgeon, anyone else. He blessed us today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he's a jealous God. All right, let's turn our hymn books to 256. It's Well With My Soul, number 256.